For too long, society has pushed the idea that you need to be big in order to succeed. It sounds like this: bigger is better. Strength is the only way. Go big or go home. But what if that advice is exactly what's holding you back from your biggest wins in life? In today's podcast, we introduce you to a book that will show you why being small may result in you winning big. Embrace your inner underdog. This one's a game changer. Welcome to the Readout Podcast. I'm your host, Jake Welchens. For the past 10 years, I've been helping young leaders reach their potential. At Readout, our belief is that to lead out, you have to read out. And to read out means to read well and to read broadly. Almost every great leader in history has been a reader. And we wholeheartedly agree with Margaret Fuller when she said, "Today a reader, tomorrow a leader." Reading is not optional to leadership. It's not the side dish, it's the main course. And in order to become a great leader, you have to dig in. But here's the problem. We here at Readout know that in this day and age, time and energy is hard to come by. My hope is to save you that time and energy and bring you the best books that can have impact in your life right now. Then I want to teach you to get the most out of these books so that you can become the leader you've always dreamed of being faster than you ever imagined. Our dream is to create a movement of young adults passionate about reading and dangerously effective at leading. Thank you to everyone sharing and reviewing us. I truly appreciate that you would take the time to do that. We absolutely need your help building this movement. It means a lot to me that you would take the time to leave a review or share on your social media, whatever you do for us. We're so grateful for that. Today, we're finishing our series, Two Birds with One Book. In this series, we're going to be focusing on those rare books that grip you with entertainment while leaving you a better person on the other side. As leaders, we're all busy with new goals, habits, visions, and dreams in 2021, and so we wanted to bring you books that would grab your attention up front while also helping you move forward in your leadership. This book is written by one of the current geniuses of the game. It's super entertaining while also moving you towards some surprising ways to succeed. Buckle up. It's amazing. I can't help myself. I'm a total sucker for anything related to this topic. Maybe it's because I am one. Maybe you are too. What am I talking about? The underdog, of course. A couple of nights ago, my wife and I decided to watch a movie. A simple proposition, yet we all know the reality of how complicated that can be these days. If two or more people are trying to find a movie to watch in 2021, what are the odds you can find a movie in under 10 minutes? Probably zero these days. I can't tell you how many nights we've decided to watch a movie and 30 minutes later, we're still scrolling. It's not because there's nothing good available. It's that there's too much available. The unlimited choice is paralyzing. I experience it so often. So my wife and I have instituted a type of 5-minute rule. Take this one to the bank. It's pretty good. If you don't find a movie to watch in 5 minutes, you don't watch a movie. Surprisingly enough, we now always find a movie to watch in 5 minutes or less. Well, we're scrolling the other night and we're running dangerously close to the 5-minute rule. Why? Because I won't settle on any specific movie. At 4 minutes and 30 seconds, my wife has thrown out two options, and classically, I've turned down both because I've seen one already and the second one is about astronauts. Sorry, I should be interested, but I'm just not. 4 minutes, 45 seconds hit and I have a decision to make. Either choose the movie I've already seen or no movie. I could go read or something useful instead, so I do what any great leader would do. I tell my wife I'm not interested and open an old Russian classic and just dive in. I'm on page 983 right now. It's a total page turner. I'm just messing. Of course we watch the movie. I'm human too, people, and boy am I glad we watched the movie. The movie we picked transported me back to the 80s, that glorious time period, and I'm brought back to one of my favorite stories of all time. It's about one of the all-time sports greats. MJ? No, not quite. Miracle on Ice, where the USA beat the USSR for gold. They made that awesome movie about it. No, although that's a pretty good one too. I love that one. You guessed it. I'm tuning into one of the greatest underdog stories ever told. That of Eddie the Eagle. Never heard of Eddie the Eagle? You need to know him. Now, by self-admission, I can't help myself. If anything even slightly rings of the underdog, I'm all in. I don't know why that is. Maybe it was some experience in my past. Maybe just love this story. I mean, who doesn't like underdogs? But the true story of Eddie the Eagle takes this storyline to new heights. I know that was such a terrible pun, but I had to do it. Here's the story. Michael Edwards was born with leg problems, a huge trademark British underbite, and one huge heart. The doctors took one look at him as a child and told him he'd never amount to anything athletic. But Eddie works hard and commits himself to reaching the pinnacle of sport, the Olympics. He trains hard to be an Olympic skier and even makes the practice squad for the British team. But as soon as his first Olympic opportunity arrives, it's squashed. The Olympic committee ruthlessly informs him he will never be a skier with a British team. Momentarily, Eddie gives up his dream, but then it dawns on him. He was never destined to be an Olympic skier. He had it all wrong. His destiny is to become an Olympic ski jumper. Listen to his revelation here from the movie.
Mum, where's my purple rucksack?
Under the stairs.
Thank you.
What, are you going camping?
No. Going to Germany. Coach leaving very soon. Sorry, Dad, I've got to get on them slopes.
Oh, no, not this again, no.
Excuse me. Hang on. What am I going to tell your plastering teacher?
Tell him I've made new plans.
New plans?
What plans?
I'm going to be an Olympic ski jumper.
Oh, no. This is some kind of joke, right?
Dad. It's not like I'm taking up ballet, still skiing. It's just a bit higher.
You name me one British ski jumper.
Me, Eddie Edwards.
The rest is literally history as Eddie battles to qualify for the Olympics in record time. Underdog stories are the best stories around. I can't get enough. Have you ever been considered the underdog? Did you rise to the challenge? I can remember being the underdog many times throughout life, and as a result, I've developed a major chip on my shoulder. Now, there are those who know me well listening to this podcast right now saying, Jake, that's not true of you. But to those disagreeing with this, I'm a closet chipper, right? I keep the chip in the closet. It's not readily apparent, but it's massive. It's there. For as long as I can remember, I viewed myself as the small upstart with lots of potential, ready to take down the corporate giants. Maybe you can relate. Maybe you're a little more emotionally healthy than me and can't. But whatever your story is, I want to challenge you as a leader to embrace the underdog mindset. Here's three reasons why having an underdog mindset will make you a better leader. Number one, you'll have less complacency. We've all heard the saying, too big to fail. Sounds like a good thing, but what if your size is your biggest weakness? In 2007, multiple banks in the US were considered too big to fail. Guess what? They failed dramatically, and they almost took the entire country with them. Why? Their size led to pride, complacency, and ultimately risky behavior that brought them low. Who took their place? Small creative banks who are willing to do things the right way. For us, it's the same story. There's a famous quote by Andy Grove that says this, success breeds complacency. Complacency breeds failure. Only the paranoid survive. And it's true. Less resources or advantages leads to a healthy paranoia. Why? Because you don't have the luxury of sitting on your wins. Underdogs stay hungry. They stay creative. They have a healthy paranoia. If you're successful, work hard to embrace the underdog mindset. It will serve you very, very well. The second reason you should embrace the underdog mindset is you'll have more passion. Vincent van Gogh failed at just about every opportunity that came his way. He tried multiple careers but could never get it right. After spending the majority of his life as a failure, he turned to drawing and painting. Now, many artists benefit from long, drawn-out careers where they get better and better and better over time. Eventually, they hit it big, but not Van Gogh. He had 10 years to do all of his work, a relatively minuscule art career, yet it was supercharged with passion. Why was that? I believe his underdog mentality pushed him to create and prove himself at an astonishing level. Once he found what he was good at, after being told he was good at nothing, no thing could stop him. He could not help himself but paint or draw. Underdogs bring the passion. The third reason you should embrace the underdog mindset is it will result in more creativity in your life. Ever heard of the Zune? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. It was Microsoft's first version of the MP3 player. It came out after the iPod, but here's the thing. Most people considered it a much better product. It should have crushed Apple on paper. It should have taken them out as a company, but why didn't it? Why did Apple go on to success and Microsoft languish in mediocrity? Because Apple was more creative. They decided, instead of building a new, better MP3 player that was going to compete with the Zune, they're going to change the game completely. And they released the iPhone right after the Zune came out. But listen to the then CEO of Microsoft, Steve Ballmer, describe the iPhone. Check this out.
$500 fully subsidized with a plan. I said, that is the most expensive phone in the world. And it doesn't appeal to business customers because it doesn't have a keyboard, which makes it not a very good email machine. Now, it may sell very well or not. We have our strategy. We've got great Windows Mobile devices in the market today. You can get a Motorola Q phone now for $99. It's a very capable machine. It'll do music. It'll do internet. It'll do email. It'll do instant messaging. So I kind of look at that and I say, well, I like our strategy. I like it a lot.
Steve Ballmer liked his strategy. In other words, he was saying we're too big to take this change seriously. People with the underdog mindset win because they never lose creativity and always stay sharp. Now, how do we develop the underdog mindset? The book I'm about to tell you about will do just that in a way that you won't be able to set down. It was my first year out of college, and like so many, I was trying to find my way in the world. I had a great job, but wasn't sure if I was really measuring up. I was surrounded by amazing people, and in many ways, I began to deceive myself. I started telling myself that I could never rise to the level of my peers. They had the pedigree. They had the gifts. They even had the looks. I was just regular old Jake. Surely everyone knew that my hiring was a fluke, and I would do my time I'd committed to, but surely they wouldn't want me past that. I was not in a great spot. As a result of these thoughts, I started to sell myself short. I stopped working as hard. I started planning my exit strategy, which is never a good sign. One saving grace is that I started reading more. Not really out of a desire to improve myself, but more out of an obligation to find more talk illustrations. I was speaking quite a bit at the time. I had heard of the author of today's book, and he was known as a storyteller. So I got online, picked up his latest book, and opened it. Wow. I got way more than I bargained for. The book is called David and Goliath, and it's by the incomparable Malcolm Gladwell. Malcolm proved himself to be a masterful storyteller. I mean, I stayed up until 1, 2 at night, unable to put this book down. Story after story was compelling and unforgettable. Yet this wasn't a fiction book. It was a keen observation and study on human nature describing why being David, the underdog in the story of David and Goliath, if you've never heard that story before, why being a David may be a better route for most people. Throughout the book, he details the traits that make underdogs successful in an easy-to-digest, entertaining manner. I was never the same. I started to see my underdog status as something to embrace, and it changed the trajectory of my life. And I bet it will for you as well. Here's some leadership gold from David and Goliath. One of the great sections in this book is when Gladwell describes the effect German bombers had on the English people during World War II and how it made them stronger in the end. Check it out. Let us start with the first line. We are all of us not merely liable to fear. We are also prone to be afraid of being afraid. Because no one in England had been bombed before, Londoners assumed the experience would be terrifying. What frightened them was their prediction about how they would feel once the bombing started. Then, German bombs dropped like hail for months and months, and millions of remote misses who had predicted that they would be terrified of bombing came to understand that their fears were overblown. They were fine. And what happened then? The conquering of fear produces exhilaration, and the contrast between the previous apprehension and the present relief and feeling of security promotes a self-confidence that is the very father and mother of courage. Courage is not something that you already have that makes you brave when the tough times start. Courage is what you earn when you've been through the tough times and you discover they aren't so tough after all. Do you see the catastrophic error that the Germans made? They bombed London because they thought that the trauma associated with the Blitz would destroy the courage of the British people. In fact, it did the opposite. It created a city of remote misses who were more courageous than they had ever been before. The Germans would have been better off not bombing London at all. That's incredible stuff from Malcolm Gladwell. Here's what he's saying. Courage is something that underdogs gain in spades. What an advantage to embrace. Stories like this fill the pages of David and Goliath. And here's today's shortcut to greatness from David and Goliath. It's this. Try being a big fish in a little pond. One of Gladwell's great examples details the story of a woman choosing colleges. She goes on a whirlwind tour of colleges and eventually lands at Brown University, only to have a terrible experience that eventually forces her out of college altogether. She was suffering from relative deprivation. In other words, she had gone from being a big fish in a little pond, the top student by far at her school, to a tiny fish in a huge pond, a smart student competing with the world's smartest. She couldn't compete with her classmates. The world would tell her to pick the biggest and best university because of the perks that came with it, but the research would show that it's actually better for most people to pick the smaller university where they can shine and have more opportunities. She was no less capable in the end than the other students at Brown. She just needed a different environment to shine. If you're struggling in a certain area, consider switching ponds to one where you can get more reps, experience, and opportunities. You'll most likely end up better on the other side. Well, that's our final book for this series, Two Birds with One Book. If David and Goliath sounds interesting to you and you want to buy it, use the link in our show notes. You'll get a great book at no additional cost to you, and we'll get a portion of the proceeds to continue bringing you the best content possible. Or if the audiobooks are better for you, use the Audible link in the show notes to get a free trial and a couple of free audiobooks at no risk to you. Next week, we're going to kick off with a new series, one I'm really excited about. It's called Your Next Chapter. We're going to take some of the best chapters from the best books that will add immediate value to you. We're going to read them and break them down as we go. Think of it as personal coaching to get you thinking like a leader while you read. I'm so excited for it. This is your host, Jake Welchens, and remember, life's too short for bad books. If you know someone out there who'd benefit from today's episode, please share. Let's build this thing together. I need your help. To connect or see what I'm reading right now, follow me on my Instagram at Jake Welchens or my Goodreads profile at www.goodreads.com/Jake Welchens. This podcast is brought to you by the Launchpad Podcast Collection and performed and written by myself, Jake Welchens. Podcast production by the one and only Logan Bongean. See you next time on Read Out.